In this upcoming week, an event of great significance will take place in America. Donald Trump has termed it the most important election in the history of America, and recently added it is the most important election in the history of Israel. Well, there is no doubt about it, American society is about as polarized as it gets. The woke left has run rampant during the reigns of Obama and Biden. The leftist agenda has been pushing forward, supported by politicians, the media, and universities. The right side was asleep at the switch for a while until Donald Trump showed up and turned mainstream politics on its head. God used Trump and his former administration, including Jared Kushner, to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and put in place the Abraham Accords, the most radical shift in world politics, breaking from the accepted narrative and bringing huge dividends to the nations that participated. Both Trump and Netanyahu were forced out of office during the year following the Accords. The momentum they had begun continued under Biden. Iran engaged its proxies, starting with Hamas and then Hezbollah and the Houthis, to scuttle the warmings of a relationship between Israel and Saudi Arabia. The Biden administration did not know what to do with the Hamas attacks on Israel, vacillating between initial support and then pressure to make peace and withholding of weapons from Israel to defend itself. Well, what will happen next? Well, we do not know the outcome, but no different than the outcome of the election that brought Trump to power in the first place. All the media predicted his abysmal defeat, and yet the angels had another plan in place. As Bible believers, there is an overarching principle that we must recognize. Daniel 4 verse 17 tells us, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." It is God and the angels that are in control of who assumes the mantle of power in America. We cannot know the direction God wants the world to go in the short term. We do know the end result that the prophets outline. First, peace in Israel prior to Russian invasion, as was discussed last week, is a prerogative. Second, a resurgent Russia must become in control of Europe. And third, a weakened America will be unable to stop the events of Ezekiel chapter 38. Now, how these objectives are achieved and in what order, we don't necessarily know. What we do know is that we, as believers, have no place in politics. Christ was very clear when he answered Pilate at his mock trial in John chapter 18, verse 36. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Now, we reject the notion that the kingdom of God is the church. The Lord instructed his disciples to pray for the coming kingdom in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." But this kingdom is in earth with Christ reigning from Jerusalem. It is not in heaven. This was what the angel Gabriel instructed Mary, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was speaking of him, "He will be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Luke chapter 1, verses 32 to 33. Hence the angel's statement to the apostles after the Lord's resurrection and ascension, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Acts 1 verse 11. This was followed by Peter's testimony in chapter 3 verses 19 to 21, where he instructed the people, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Well, the restoration or restitution of all things spoken of by the mouth of the prophets is completed. Jesus will return and assume the throne of David, ruling from Jerusalem and bringing peace on earth. In the meantime, we have no place in fighting either physically or politically in this world. John Thomas summed up the situation well in writing Eureka, where he stated, To the saints, this aerial expanse is closed, meaning the political heavens. At the present, they do not shine there as the sun, moon, and constellations and stars of the firmament. Although the saints are promised power of the nations to rule them, the heaven in which the national government is located is shut and fast closed against them. A saint who is one in deed, as well as name, cannot condescend to subject himself to the conditions necessary to obtain the favor of the political mob, whether that mob be a mob of aristocrats or a mob of what these call the swinish multitude. He cannot, I say, condescend as a son of the deity, a brother of Jesus Christ, and a king and priest elect for God to seek the favor of the dead in trespasses and sins, whose votes and patronage are indispensable to his exaltation to the heaven. That is the heavens of the political situation right now, in which, John Thomas continues, he may figure by the eloquence of his speech or the gaudy decorations of a court as a star of the first or an inferior magnitude. End quote. Well, the time will come when the door to the political heavens is opened and the believers are invited to take their place, running the world in righteousness, as John saw in his vision in Revelation 4, verse 1, where he says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." However, it is not their place now. Peter looked for this in the future, as we read in 2 Peter 3, verse 13. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness." What the angels are about to do, we watch from the sidelines, Bible in hand, with great interest, without intervention by vote or voice. It is not our place to question God, and we leave the politicians to strive one with the other, as we read in Isaiah 45, verse 9. "Woe to him that striveth with his maker! Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth! Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, What makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands?" So while we do not become politically or socially or environmentally active, we can be prayerfully active, as Christ prayed in John 17, verse 15, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." This world is becoming increasingly evil, and the only real remedy is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens to Israel then? Well, it may well be that the return of Trump to the White House may be necessary to bring peace in the Middle East. It may have been why Trump's exit was required to force Israel to deal with Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran, though they have been unwilling to do so for years. Trump made the statement at the Republican National Convention, "I will end every single international crisis that the current administration has created, including the horrible war with Russia and Ukraine, which would never have happened if I was president, and the war caused by the attack on Israel, which would never have happened if I was president." So it may well be that is why he was not president for a while. The terrible events in Israel have forced it to stop listening to the opinions of the nations around the world and focus on what is good for God's people in the land. Netanyahu himself stated, "We are changing the security relation or reality in our region for the sake of our children and for the sake of our future, to ensure that what happened on October the 7th will not happen again, never again," end quote. Well, it may well be that war with Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran is the only way to bring peace to the region. Perhaps Trump's return to a totally reshaped Middle East will be what the angels have prepared. Perhaps he is not to return, as there are other things that need to take place without a strong hand of America intervening. What we do know is that there must be a real peace in the Middle East before Christ's return, for they shall dwell safely, all of them, Ezekiel 38, verse 8, and the extent of the safety was brought out last week, as we read in verses 11 and 12. "Thou shalt say, I will go up to a land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil, to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land." this state must be achieved, and it may well be the furtherance of the Abraham Accords that will bring this about. So what happens to Ukraine? We know that Russia must be triumphant and Europe must be trained. The Kiev Independent stated Trump has claimed he would end Russia's war within 24 hours without elaborating on how he plans to achieve it. Some reports and statements from Trump's inner circle indicated he might entail pressuring Ukraine to cede territory or give up on its NATO aspirations. Well, the Bible tells us that not only Ukraine, but Europe will fall under the control of Russia when the final conflict comes about. The instructions to Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, are given in chapter 38, verse 7. Be thou prepared, prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. The guarding of Europe and the associated nations, including France, Germany, Italy, Greece, Ukraine, and the rest, is a foregone conclusion. How we get from the situation we see today to the future biblically outlined state remains to be seen. It may be that a Kamala-style White House will be the right recipe for such a disaster. Well, will America be great again? Trump has run on a Make America Great Again campaign. Is that the purpose of the Father? Is America and the things it stands for in line with the things of the Father? Well, increasingly, it is going in a direction wholly opposed to God and His principles as taught in the Bible. America's destiny is one of weakness. It has abandoned God and driven the Bible out of its schools and all its national institutions. The words of Hosea have been quoted by many leaders in America mourning the state of affairs. In Hosea 8, verse 7, they have sown the wind and shall weep the whirlwind. What made America great in the first place was its biblical principles threaded into the fabric of society. As these threads are pulled out, the national fabric falls apart. Reminiscent of Israel's demise, America has turned its back on God and consequently cannot state, "In God we trust," or request, "God bless America." Israel was warned in Hosea 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Now, if America blesses Israel under Trump, it may find itself a recipient of the blessings promised. If it curses Israel under Kamala, it may find itself a recipient of the curses also promised in the exact same verse in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. Now, we read there, "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." It may be that Trump does win the election, and he has had much Catholic support behind him, with prominent and vocal Catholics like Robert Kennedy and Mel Gibson throwing their support behind him. The New Humanist, in a June 2024 article, recounted on a 2020 phone call with Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York, who gushed his support, Trump called himself the best president in the history of Catholic Church. Well, this was reference to his appointment of judges who were anti-abortion. Three of the Supreme Court justices who overturned Roe v. Wade were appointed by Trump, bringing the total of judges raised Catholic to 7 out of 9. Now, if Trump was successful in the election and then was actually successfully assassinated, it would make J.D. Vance the third Catholic president in the United States. Once in power, who knows how Vance would turn his policies? What we do know is eventually America will be diminished and Israel will rise to greatness under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. America, along with all nations, will be called upon to submit to His righteous rule. Now, we believe the Bible indicates there will be some shred of biblical fabric left that will cause the nation to bow its knee. We read in Psalm 72, verses 10 to 11, "The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him." We believe that America is part of that Tarshish power of Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 13, the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof. One thing is for sure, though. We read in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 to 31, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. We pray that that day will be soon. For the Bible in the News, this has been Jonathan Bowen joining you.